Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You know, there's something about childhood memories that always stays with you. The laughter, the adventures, the little moments that somehow define you. But for some, those memories are tainted by shadows. And I'm not talking about the kind you grow out of or the kind that fade away with time. I'm talking about the kind of shadows that creep into your life when the sun goes down. The kind that don't care if you're 8 or 80. They're just there, watching, waiting, and sometimes moving things around when you're not looking. Now imagine this. You're 8 years old, safe in bed, or so you think. Suddenly laughter fills the living room, voices you can't place, but they're there. You'd assume it's your parents, right? Maybe they've invited some friends over for a late-night chat. But here's the thing. It's not your parents. It's not anyone you recognize. And when you walk into that room expecting to see familiar faces, you find nothing. Just an empty room. Well, except for that old rocking chair that's swaying back and forth as if someone, no, something was sitting in it. But that's just the beginning. The noises don't stop, and soon they're being blamed on you and your siblings. Your stepdad hears giggling, jumping, sounds that definitely aren't coming from you, but you're still getting in trouble. And it makes you wonder, if you're not making those sounds, then who or what is? So what do you do when something in your house is playing tricks on you? How do you handle it when the walls that are supposed to keep you safe are hiding secrets of their own? Tonight, we've got a story that will make you question what you thought was just childhood imagination. And let me tell you, this one, it's not just a few creaky floorboards. This is something much deeper, much darker. So, are you ready to hear what happened next? Because things are about to get a lot more unsettling. We're just scratching the surface here. Let's get into it. Dear honey, I wanted to share this story because it's something that stuck with me all these years. It all started when I was about 8 or 9 years old, living in a trailer house with my family. I've always had an overactive imagination, so I usually brushed off the strange things I heard or saw. You know, the usual creaks and groans of an old trailer settling. But there was this one night, I couldn't brush it off anymore. It was late, and I was fast asleep in my room, which was right next to the living room. I suddenly woke up to the sound of people talking and laughing in the living room. I didn't recognize the voices, but at first I figured my parents had some friends over. But the more I listened, the stranger it got. I couldn't make out a single word of what they were saying, just this murmuring, like a group of people having a conversation in another language, or whispering in a way that made everything sound jumbled. Still half asleep, I dragged myself out of bed to see what was going on. When I stepped into the living room, my heart almost stopped. The room was empty, no people, no gathering, just the TV on. but it wasn't playing a show or anything. Just that eerie white fuzz you get when a channel goes off air. And here's the kicker. The old rocking chair we had was moving back and forth, slowly, steadily, as if someone had just been sitting in it. But there was no one there, Tony, no one at all. I was completely freaked out. I turned and bolted back to my room, pulled the covers over my head, and didn't dare go back out. I didn't tell anyone. I mean, how could I? I was a kid with a big imagination. Who would believe me? But I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off in that house. Not long after that, I asked my sister if we could share a room. I didn't want to sleep alone anymore, not with that stuff happening. She thought I was being weird, but eventually she agreed. And it wasn't long before other things started happening. My stepdad, who was a pretty strict guy, would come storming into our room at night, yelling at us for goofing off and not being asleep. But Tony, we were asleep, dead asleep. He swore up and down that he heard us jumping on the beds, laughing, making noise, but we hadn't done a thing. Of course, we still got in trouble for it, but we knew something else was making those noises. When I was 12, we moved to my stepdad's hometown. It was a small, older house. I remember the first time we went to look at it. I felt this deep, overwhelming fear the second we stepped inside. I don't even know why. I just knew with every fiber of my being that I didn't want to live there. I begged my mom not to move us in. But of course, she thought I was just upset about moving away from my friends. So we moved in. It didn't take long for things to start happening again. There was something, someone in that house with us. I didn't know it was a girl at first, but I'll get to that. The radio in my room would constantly change stations, no matter what I was listening to, rock, pop, whatever. It would always switch to country music. Sometimes I'd be listening to a tape, and the tape player would just stop, and the radio would come on, louder than before. And sometimes I would ask it to stop, and it would. Other times it seemed to turn up louder, like it was saying, "I'm here and you're not going to ignore me." Then one night I had a dream, a vivid dream where I saw this girl. She had dark hair, about shoulder length, and she was slim, maybe around 5'5". She seemed to be standing there, just watching me. She didn't seem scary, just waiting. She walked out of my room, into my parents' room next door, looked out the window, and then ran down the stairs and out of the house. I woke up suddenly, heart racing, and that's when I saw her, Tony. She was still there. Not in the dream, but standing in my room, looking right at me. And then she was gone. I told my mom and my stepdad's twin sister about it the next day. My aunt's face went pale. She asked me to describe the girl, and when I did, she looked like she was about to cry. She told me that the girl I saw matched the description of her friend, who used to live in that house when they were teenagers. Her friend had snuck out one night and had been killed in a car accident. That's when I realized I hadn't just imagined her. She was real, in whatever sense of the word real means when you're talking about ghosts. After that, we got used to her being around. She wasn't malicious. Not like some of the other things that happened in that house. My sister, though, she had a lot of experiences in what used to be the girls' room. Things would happen in there all the time. Radios turning on, lights flickering, doors slamming shut. We learned to live with it. But there were moments when it was clear she was trying to communicate. We had a fireplace in the living room that hadn't been used in months, and one summer day, out of nowhere, it lit itself. No one was around it, no firewood had been put in, nothing. It was just ashes and burnt wood. But there it was, roaring to life as if someone had struck a match. But you know what really got me? It was the fire in the basement. We used a wood-burning stove to keep the house warm in the winter. My parents worked overnight, so it was up to me and my sister to keep the fire going. I hated going down there. It was creepy as hell. Half the time, we let the fire die out because we were too scared to go down. But here's the thing. We would wake up, and the house would be warm. There'd be a hot fire going, and neither of us had put any wood in. Just ashes. No wood. and somehow the fire was burning. She was looking out for us. After we realized that this girl, this spirit, was looking out for us, we weren't as scared of her. She'd light the fire in the basement almost like she was taking care of us. And I think, in a strange way, we even came to appreciate her presence. It was comforting knowing that someone was there, even if they weren't exactly alive. But not all the spirits in that house were so friendly. One night, something else happened. I don't remember much of it, but I do know it wasn't the girl. I think it might have been my uncle who had passed away, but I'm not sure. I was asleep, and in my dream, I was speaking with my uncle in Ojibwe. Now I only know a little Ojibwe, not much more than a few phrases. But in this dream, I was speaking it fluently, as if it were my first language. We were having a full conversation, but for the life of me, I can't remember what we were talking about. The next thing I remember is waking up in tears, crying in my mom's lap. She told me she had been coming down the stairs when she heard me say something in my sleep, so she came in to check on me. At first, she thought I was just talking in my sleep, like I often did, but then she realized I was speaking in Ojibwe, something I shouldn't have been able to do in my sleep, let alone fluently. She tried to wake me up, but I wouldn't wake. She said my body started shaking, and then, out of nowhere, I sat up, looked her dead in the eyes, and said, "We have to leave the house immediately. It's not safe anymore." She said the voice that came out of me wasn't mine. It was deeper. And she swears my eyes had gone completely black. And of course, we didn't leave the house. Where would we have gone? But ever since that night, things in the house changed. Not just the paranormal stuff, the atmosphere, the feeling of the house. It all got darker. Worse, my stepdad, who had always been strict, started to become more violent. He drank more. It was like the house was feeding off of everything that was going wrong, making it worse. The sense of dread was always there, hanging over us like a storm cloud. I ended up moving out less than a year later just to get away from him. I had to. The house, the spirits, my stepdad, it was all too much. I'm not sure if it was the spirits causing the change in him, or if it was something else. But the timing was too strange to ignore. Things weren't just off. They were bad, Tony. Dark. Even now, looking back, I can't fully explain it. There were other spirits in that house, ones I haven't even mentioned yet. We learned to live with them, but they definitely made their presence known in different ways. The girl in the house wasn't malicious, but she wasn't the only one there. There were darker things lurking in the shadows. Things that didn't care if they scared us. Sometimes I wonder if the house itself was a magnet for spirits, like it had its own energy, drawing in the lost and the restless. Maybe that's why it always felt so heavy. Since then, I've had more experiences with the paranormal, but nothing quite like that house. I have more stories I could tell, things that happened after I moved out, other houses I've lived in, but I think I'll save those for another time. For now, this is the story that stayed with me the most, the one that changed how I see the world. I hope this story was easy to understand. It's a lot to wrap your head around, I know, but I'm sure you've heard stranger things. Sincerely, Anna. Well, Anna's story is one of those that gives you chills because it doesn't feel far-fetched. It feels personal, unsettling, and far too real. Let's break it down, shall we? First, we got the presence of multiple spirits in the house, but what stands out to me the most is the way these spirits interacted with her and her family. The girl, the one who took care of the fire and seemed to look out for them, almost felt protective in a way. It's like she was still living her life in that house, watching over the children, making sure they were safe. In many stories like this, there's often one spirit that sticks around with unfinished business or simply because they're still attached to the place. But this story doesn't stop at a helpful ghost. It veers into something much darker. The moment when Anna's uncle supposedly visited her in a dream and she woke up speaking fluent Ojibwe, now that's a whole different ballgame. Speaking in a language you barely know, that's a classic sign of spiritual possession or communication. And when her mother saw her eyes turn black, well, We're stepping into some seriously eerie territory there. Now, could Anna's dream be a manifestation of grief or an attempt by her mind to connect with her uncle? Absolutely. But the fact that she woke up warning her mother that the house wasn't safe anymore, well, it makes you wonder if something more malicious was lurking and whether that spirit was a warning or part of the problem. It almost feels like the house itself was a battleground, a tug of war between protective spirits and something far darker. Then there's the strange behavior of her stepdad. Let's be honest. Some houses have this way of feeding off of negative energy, amplifying it, twisting it, until it warps the people living there. We've all heard stories of families moving into a new home and suddenly things just go south. The stepdad's increasing violence, drinking, and overall negative behavior could be a side effect of something paranormal. Or perhaps the house was merely bringing out something that was already there. Spirits have a way of attaching themselves to vulnerable people, feeding off their emotions and drawing them deeper into darkness. And when the house itself is a magnet for these entities, it becomes a vicious cycle. And what's really interesting here is how Anna and her sister began to appreciate the girl spirit after a while, almost as though she became a part of the family. But, and this is key, while they might have grown fond of her, it was clear that there were other things in the house they couldn't control. The missing chunks of hair, the fire starting on its own, those aren't friendly acts. And let's not forget the dream about her uncle. Whether it was him or not, that message about needing to leave the house was chilling. And after that moment, the house itself seemed to fall into darkness, almost like it had been biding its time. We can speculate all day about what was going on in that house. Could it have been a portal of sorts where spirits of all kinds were drawn? Absolutely. We know places like that exist, areas where the veil between the living and the dead is thinner. Or maybe it was something about the land itself, the energy around it, or something in the home's history that acted as a beacon for restless spirits. There's a reason why certain places feel heavier than others. As though the very air you breathe is thick with the energy of whatever's gone before. And then there's the psychological angle. If you look at it through a more skeptical lens, you might ask, if the stepdad's deteriorating behavior, the constant pressure of living in a haunted house, and the trauma from their experiences were influencing how they perceived things, did their minds start to play tricks on them? Could some of these events have been exaggerated by fear or stress? Possibly. But there are too many coincidences here, too many shared experiences for this all to be dismissed as the mind playing tricks. The bottom line is, there's no clear answer. What happened to Anna and her family in that house walks a fine line between psychological breakdown and paranormal activity. One thing's for sure, whatever was in that house didn't want to stay hidden. It wanted to be noticed. And when you've got spirits making their presence known like that, especially in ways that shift from helpful to menacing, it's not something to take lightly. At the end of the day, it comes down to energy. Whether it's the energy of the living or the dead, places like Anna's house hold on to it, amplify it, and eventually, well, it manifests in ways that can't always be explained. The real question is, was the house itself haunted? Or were the people in it being influenced by forces beyond their control, their own emotions and vulnerabilities, feeding into something bigger? I'll leave you with this thought. When you start noticing things moving on their own, or waking up to find someone standing at the foot of your bed, that's when you've got to ask yourself, is it all in your head, or is something far more sinister at play? And if it's the latter, how do you protect yourself when the thing you're up against isn't even alive?
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or Jeff Weiler, ColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.